Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues. Not only the Tuesday edition, but the very last of the year, Today's Issues edition.
That's it.
And Fred Jackson here, along with Alex McFarlane and Ray Pritchard. And joining us now is Steve Jordahl. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Do you mind if I take the rest of the year off after this?
Okay. All right. The end of the day, you can take the year off.
All right.
The rest of the year off.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Do whatever. Well, Steve, we talked off the top of the program about our practices as far as seeing the new year in. Some will be sleeping.
Yeah.
And others will be, well, tell us what you'll
be. We have no plans at this point. I haven't really talked to Heather about this. Now, she's working today, and she, unfortunately, she's a home health nurse, a speech pathologist, and she has patients that she's got to see tomorrow.
So oh, my.
She's working tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, health waits for no man, I suppose.
Yes.
And so I don't know. She's kind of a late night girl anyway, so we might be up as normal at midnight. Who knows? But yeah.
All right, you guys.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You guys haven't convinced me. I'll be asleep. I mean, that's,
yeah, that's probably my plan. Will. I heard you guys talking about the church services.
Uh-huh.
That they do. I remember being in high school, and we would have a church service, and you know, come midnight, the organist would play. We'd all be quiet, or, you know, very quiet. The organist would play chimes like 12 times.
Okay.
And then the pastor would pray.
Okay.
And then we'd leave.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my friends were out shooting fireworks off, kissing their favorite girl, doing all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, man, how did I grow up like this?
And now you appreciate it, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, I kind of see it now, but still, I think we loosened up a little bit.
Yes.
At least had some fun with it later years. But
all right. All right, Steve, what you got for us?
I just want to say, are you having a good day today?
I'm having a wonderful day.
What about you, Alex and Ray? You guys having a good day?
Amen. We're blessed.
Terrific. You know who might not be having a good day?
Who's that?
This would be Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Oh.
His office, Jimmy Carter passed away yesterday. His office sent out condolences to Rosalind.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Who died in 2023.
Yes. Oops.
Ah.
Oh.
Someone needs to check the obituaries before
That's
they do
right.
that.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, we're forgiving here.
Yes,
at Today's Issues.
Yes, we are.
Well, you know, we're winding down the clock in so many ways on the Biden administration. And, guys, We're soon going to be hearing the last from Karine Jean-Pierre.
Oh, yeah.
A voice that we will all... No, I'm not going to say that because it wouldn't be true. So, but Karine Jean-Pierre is on her way out. But she will be remembered, Steve.
Yes.
She will be remembered.
She will be. And I'm trying to find the clip. Did I have anything labeled John? Okay, let's play it. This is the best of...
The best of...
The best of... Karine Jean-Pierre, courtesy of Media Research Center.
Why are you repeating this false claim that Republicans voted to reduce the number of Border Patrol agents, even though the Washington Post gave the administration three Pinocchios for that?
This is an act, and this would have forced the elimination of 2,000 Border Patrol agents.
It's the White House applying White House math to a bill that never had any appropriations.
Why is President Biden saying he was shot down, there's no evidence of that? And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
The president had a emotional and I think a symbolic moment.
So when you're eaten by cannibals, you just mean it symbolically.
Emotional. Hey, all right, Ray. She takes the record, I think, for us as far as playing clips because of... Because I used to watch these daily briefings, and she had this huge book. When she was asked a question, she would go to it, and if she didn't have it in her book, she would say, "Well, I'll have to refer you to the Pentagon, or I'll have to refer you to Justice, or something of that nature." But the reality is this, Ray, this administration lied, misled, deceived the American people so frequently. And I guess if you were going to give her a prize, she was faithful to those lies and deception as far as what she told the American people.
Yeah, she did her job in that one sense.
Yeah.
That when she had to tell a big one, she told a big one. When she needed to bend the truth, she bent the truth. I do want to say, in her defense, she was having to explain Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden's circuitous, strange, like the cannibal comment. So she says he's emotional and symbolic. His comment didn't really make any sense. And the symbolic explanation made even less sense. So she has sympathy on that point. I wouldn't want to have to try to explain Joe Biden either.
If your job is to represent the president, she might have been the best press secretary ever. Misspeaks and confusion and everything.
But the other thing in this, Alex, is she knew he was lying. She knew that what she was saying and repeating was a lie. And I think she had a sense she was proud of what she was doing.
Yeah. July 3rd, she said the president was clear-eyed, his mental state was fine, and he would not drop out of the presidential race. July 10th, I believe it was, she said the president had had a neurological exam in February of this year and had gotten a clean bill of health. That was false.
Yeah.
Totally false. Four different occasions, she said, quote, in no uncertain terms, Biden will not pardon Hunter. Mm-hmm. And do you know, I think about this, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not lie. Now, we've all said things that weren't true and God will forgive. But I got to tell you, I mean, I didn't like Jen Psaki. And then
circle back Psaki.
Yeah. And then this girl, I'm telling you guys, I've prayed for her because, you know, she was lying. It was almost like she couldn't have ordered a hamburger without lying about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, the problem is too, Ray, is that she knew that the mainstream media, for the most part, would not push up against her. I mean, the what we just heard in that audio was two Fox reporters who pushed against her.
Most days, Fred, she knew the only pushback she'd get would be from Peter Ducey. Yeah. He'd be the one guy that would guaranteed to ask a tough question because, what was the Washington Post going to push her? No. Was the New York Times? No. Chicago Tribune, LA Times? No. She knew, and CNN, I mean, no. They were in the bag all the way. So she knew if she could handle Peter Ducey most days, everything would be okay, and the American people, I think she thought they would go along with whatever she said. Was she any part of the reason that Kamala Harris lost so badly? Only in this sense, she conditioned the American people to understand that the White House is not speaking the truth. And that led, I think, in part to Trump's great victory. People said, we're tired of this. We want to hear the truth.
You know, Steve, it's going to be interesting to see. We saw what happened in the first Trump administration with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and others, how they were attacked. They were the spokesman for the president. There will be a new figure up there. And I expect that individual, and I don't have her name in front of me right now.
Caroline Leavitt.
Leavitt. Seems like a very young lady.
Seven.
Working within the Trump camp right now. But I expect she, and I'm sure she's prepared for this, she is going to be attacked on a daily basis by the mainstream media.
You know, she could be, and probably at certain points will be, but the mainstream media has kind of changed. A lot of stuff has changed since the first Trump administration. They got a kind of a comeuppance when Joe Biden ended up resigning and everything, because for years, for 4 years or 3 years, they had been saying he's just fine. When all the conservatives and the Fox people were saying, you know, there's something wrong with Joe Biden, they were saying no. They were saying you're making it up. Listen to this is a montage of people from the mainstream media talking about videos that Republicans would play, and they call them cheap fakes, not deep fake. Deep fakes are fake. Cheap fakes must be real, but just somehow cheap. But listen to Cut 11.
Cheap fakes, videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated to fool viewers, released on an RNC opposition research social media account with zero independent fact-checking by these so-called journalists and spread throughout the right-wing ecosystem.
And they are being picked up by news outlets that know they're fakes and or know that they are misleading but post them anyway.
Instead of Republicans, you know, focusing on the president's performance in office and what he's been able to accomplish, his actual record, they do these cheap fakes.
Yeah, there you go again, Ray. That is Karine Jean-Pierre, the last voice that was there. The honest media did focus on the president's mental acuity. And it turns out, gee, those stories were correct.
Look, we could all see it. This, to me, this is not even really a left-right kind of issue. If you had any common sense at all, you could see Joe Biden struggling to answer questions, repeating himself, making things up. You know, there were all the, when, how many clips did we play over the year of Joe Biden saying something and you go, that's not even a sentence. There's not a subject. There's not a predicate there. This isn't really a left-right issue. It's a tragedy that it was allowed to go on as long, and that the White House, Jean-Pierre and the others, they felt the need, and the mainstream media completely complicit in covering this up.
They've also, I'm sorry, Ray. They also have kind of, some of them have come around to say we really blew that one. Morning Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski went down to visit Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago saying they wanted to reset the relationship. They were such antagonists of the president the first time around. And that's happened with several reporters, seen videos of saying, you know, we were fooled, or we just didn't want to see it. So it's a little different. A lot of stuff is going to be different in 2025 than it was in 2017. Donald Trump is different. He's a lot more balanced. He's a lot more prepared. I think he's less bombastic on social media. I haven't seen a whole lot. Mm-hmm. The last time he gave somebody a name, I can't remember. So I think it's become socially acceptable to support the guy. You're not going to get canceled anymore. I think we're in for an interesting 4 years.
Yeah. Alex, I'm not sure. I think the mainstream media will remain loyal to their left-wing worldview. I know some, you know, the owners of LA Times, New York Times, CNN have made statements out there, but within the camp of reporters, I haven't seen a big change yet. They're willing to admit that they were wrong about not reporting on Joe Biden's mental state, but at the same time, they still hate what conservatives stand for.
Yeah. Well, you know, Trump has been on the cover of Time as Person of the Year. Mm-hmm. I've got that issue, and it's
frame
a
pretty,
it. Yeah, complimentary, you know. I got to tell you, this is like the Reagan Revolution, but actually only better. I mean, the first time I ever was old enough to vote was when Reagan was running for re-election. And as much as I appreciated Reagan, and I did, Trump is better than Reagan.
In what way?
Well, prove it in one point among many. He moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Mm. I mean, that was courageous. He's been a man of his word. And I think about, you know, when Biden took office, Biden was handed an unbelievable economy. Mortgage interest rates were down. New home starts were at record levels. First-time home ownership were at record levels. Minority employment were at record levels. And just think, you know, the Biden administration has been a four-year wrecking ball for the interest of American citizens. But I'm telling you, Donald Trump, I think a lot of these reporters are now cozying up to him. You know, the headlines say from foes to bros, because the conservative constitutionalist restoration of America is a juggernaut that I think, for the moment at least, can't be stopped.
All right, Alex and Ray, we got about 10 minutes left, and this is something we've talked about at our story meeting. I want you to, and Ray, we'll start with you. I want you to look into the future, 2025, for the challenges and the opportunities facing the nation's evangelical churches. We know the devil's crowd is not going to give up. They're not going to surrender. But what are the challenges? And as a pastor, both of you have been pastors. As pastors, you're thinking about this year ahead, and how do I lead my flock? What does a pastor have to do to guard his flock, to bring his flock forward spiritually?
You know, Fred, I have to tell you, I had an unusual experience, a sort of an experience in my heart. It doesn't happen to me too often, but it did this week. I was praying about what verse that I should emphasize as we go into 2025. And my first thought was to take a verse from the book of Deuteronomy, where Deuteronomy 30 and 31, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid, and so on. God is going to be with you. Wonderful, wonderful truth. You can see those verses in there. And it was as if the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. And I got to say, this is sort of, I'm just playing this out loud as I'm talking to you guys, that I don't know the full thing yet, but it was as if the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, said, no, not exactly that. I said, what, Lord? And I felt the Lord leading me to a very familiar verse, book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua's an old man. He's going to die, and he knows it. He's old and full of years. His great heroic life is coming to an end. And you got the people there, and they've won the great victory at Jericho, Ai, and Gibeon. And, you know, they've gone north, south, central. It's been a series of astounding victories. But now Joshua's going to die. What's going to happen to the people of God in the next generation? And he says something that's just astounding to me. He says, put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Fred, that means that after all that God had done in the wilderness, right? Crossing the Jordan River, the walls of Jericho come a-tumbling down, there were still people among the Jews, the Israelites, if you will, who were still following the gods of ancient Ur of the Chaldees, the gods of Egypt, the gods of the Amorites. And Joshua knew it, right? He's a good leader. Mm-hmm. He knew what was going on. And almost his last words were, put those gods away, because there are going to be some real challenges in front of you. And then he says, look, choose you this day whom you will serve. Your God has brought you this far. Now decide if he is going to be your God going forward. And if you want to go back to those old gods, that's your choice. If you want to serve the God of the Amorites, big mistake, but that's what you can do. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe somewhere deep in my heart, God is saying 2025 is a year of decision. It's a year when God's people are going to have to make up their minds. And I will say this, and with this I'll close. Fred, I think we've had too many Christians, too many evangelicals sitting on the fence. Foot in the world, foot in the church, foot with the pagans, foot with the Christian people, playing footsie with both sides. You can't do that anymore, friends. Get off that fence, because the devil owns the fence. Get on the Lord's side. Say for yourself and say for your family, whatever the rest of the world does, I am going to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's my exhortation for the year ahead.
Appreciate that, Ray. Alex.
That was powerful. You know, one of my favorite quotes, in 1908, the great G.K. Chesterton said, this is so cool, he said, as much as we need to win the lost to Christianity, more and more we need to win the Christians to Christianity. In Matthew 28:20, here's a verse that I love. Jesus is going back to heaven. He's risen. He's ascended. He gives the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. But here's the thing, and pastors, I challenge you. The Lord Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And there's been this little reprimand by those of the evangelical left, quote unquote, the Russell Moores and others that have said, oh, you know, either you serve Jesus or you're patriotic. And, you know, we don't want this, you know, American exceptionalism, and we don't want this Christian nationalism. I challenge my fellow clergy, teach biblical worldview, teach biblical citizenship, fulfill Matthew 28:20, and teach your people what God says about the sanctity of life, the nature of marriage, the objective nature of gender, Genesis 1:26-27. And let's raise up generations upon generations of people whose, yes, their primary loyalty is to the Lord Jesus, but then secondarily, they understand to be salt and light in the culture, Christian citizenship. That will benefit our nation for generations to come.
And Pastors Ray and Alex, Ray first, and we got about a minute here. I think what you're advocating for also has to be echoed in the home.
Amen.
It can't happen. It cannot happen. And 1,000 amens, Alex, to what you said about teaching the worldview. But we can't just lay it off on the pastors, though we've got to have courageous pastors. We've got to have godly moms and godly dads and grandparents who will say, for our family, whatever they do down the street, they do. But in this household, we are going to serve the Lord.
And Alex, it starts at an early age, too, very early age.
It does. That's why, you know, I tell all our the 1,200 teens that will be in our 7 summer camps coming up, number one, give your life to Jesus. Number two, find a Christian spouse and build a Christian home. Folks, I would shout it from the rooftops. If you want to fulfill the Great Commission and save America, be a champion for the Christian family.
Amen and amen. Listen, guys, this is it's been a treat. This is the last today's issues of this year, 2024. God is blessed, but as we look forward to 2025, as you folks have been saying, we have to ground ourselves in God's word, know that we serve a God who doesn't change, and that as Christians, we are part of his family. He will take care of us. That doesn't mean we may not go through difficult times in our personal lives. That is going to happen because we live in a fallen world. And we have fallen older bodies. But Ray, going back to where your reading was this morning, what a wonderful future we have. It could be 2025, the year the Lord returns.
Even so, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Listen, thank you so much, Alex McFarland, Ray Pritchard. Thank you so much, Steve. All the contributions through the years, you and Chris. And have made. And for you folks, also Brent Creeley. Brent Creeley is the guy who you don't hear from very much, but he's here helping us put this program together every day. And folks, we thank you, the listeners to American Family Radio. We pray God's blessing upon you in this year coming ahead, 2025. And we hope part of the blessing will come from you listening here to American Family Radio. God bless you all. We'll see you again real soon.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.